Thought for today. Always be better than yourself. Always be better than yourself. Always be better than yourself. Have you wondered what yourself was like? Have you wondered what yourself really could do? Have you always been the best that you can be? Have you always demonstrated every moment of your life the ideal you? And if you haven't, then start working on it. Start being better than yourself. Be better than anything you've ever been up to now. And watch how the miracles will take place. We were at this seminar in Hempstead, New York. It's right in the middle of Long Island. Long Island is right here, and right in the middle is Hempstead. And it's quite a lovely place. And we were in this church, which is the Art of Living, Church for the Art of Living. Very nice building. But it was like something that was just being born. The big building had been a radio station, and it had been very popular, very successful, and they bought a new building so they could expand. And so this building is three stories, and in the basement they have just as much room as on each of the other floors, and there they had their recreation room, they had their dining hall, and they had offices down there too. And then the next floor they had Sunday school rooms and offices for greeting people and a bookstore and a large auditorium. And then up on the top floor was another auditorium, and we had a stage and offices and a weightlifting room for their teaching yoga that she likes to teach and various other things. And it's in a good location. It's just waiting to be used. Big parking lot next door too, which is very nice. Just ideal in every possible way. But it's not yet developed. The main auditorium is developed, and still a little more polishing to do, but the building is just saying, use me, use me, use me. Be better than yourself. And so I spoke to the congregation on Sunday, and I said, you have here a wonderful building. It's ready to be used. Begin putting it in even better shape than it is. Start to polish this diamond and watch what's going to happen. I said, here you will have a beautiful auditorium for giving the wonderful Sunday services and Wednesday services and all the other services you want to have. Here you have wonderful rooms in which you can have school. You can have the University of the Art of Living. And you can teach right here. All of the people in town who want to come, the rooms are big and spacious and airy and light, ready to be classrooms, ready to be filled with eager minds, ready to understand their divinity. And you have an opportunity here to do something fantastic. You could even have your own monastery here. You could have the Monastery of the Art of Living. And I said, and today, each of you here in this congregation, I confer upon you that you are monks in the Monastery of the Art of Living. They didn't even know they were going to have a monastery there, but they, yes, yes, yes. And so immediately, the young people of the church got a hold of me and said, what can I do? And I said, well, start cleaning it up. I said, take one room at a time and vacuum the carpets and wash the windows and sweep the cobwebs out where the building hadn't been used for a while. Get it all nice and beautiful. Oh, that's not hard to do. If you did that one room a Sunday, well, that's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 14, 18. There's 18 rooms upstairs. That's 18 Sundays, and you'd have the upstairs perfect. But I'm sure you'd work faster than that. And downstairs, you have 16 rooms and the big auditorium. And in no time, you'd have that already. All you want to do is come here and do it. Come here and work. Come here and make it beautiful. And then, as you come here, don't come alone. Bring your friends. Bring your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters. Bring your neighbors. Bring your school chums. Bring everybody. Bring them here and make this into something beautiful. Let it be better than it what it is now. Be better than yourself. And then I spoke to one of the ladies, and she says, "Ah, we've been there, done that. The kids got all excited, and then they didn't show. And then they just, hey, now we have a new excitement. Sure, the kids didn't show, and they were exciting. So you go pick them up. Get yourself a car, a truck, or a van, and go pick up all these kids and bring them here to work. They'd love it. They'd love to do that." And she said, "But we tried it before and it didn't work." I said, "Hey, keep trying it. Keep trying it again and again and again until it does work." And then I told him, I said, "You know, you were with Reverend Ike, and you and Reverend Ike started Reverend Ike's ministry. But before that, you were just a punk kid sitting at the organ of your Pentecostal church playing the organ, and this little girl comes into the church with her grandma. She's 10 years old, and she says to you, 'I'm going to marry you.' And so when she's 24, she marries you. You're 15 years older than she is. And she comes along and supports you. And you have a wonderful child. And you work with Reverend Ike. And you help him develop his church. But not before you had worked in this Pentecostal church. And you worked yourself right up to the top. You were going to become a bishop in the Pentecostal church. You were no small chicken. And you could do anything you wanted to do. Then you worked with Reverend Ike and you helped him build his ministry. So it was a multi-billion-dollar business, virtually. You lived in a grand house on acres of land in a beautiful area of Long Island. Tremendous. You were very wealthy. And then you decided that what Reverend Ike was doing was not quite your thing. And you wanted to walk your own path, which is a natural thing for any leader. And so you walked away from that opulent ministry. And you took all the money you had invested in property, in buildings and lands, and bought this church. And now the church is struggling to get going because you didn't keep a lot of operating capital. But you're not hurting. And you're a young man. You're a young man ready to do this work." He's younger than I am. He's about 6 months younger than I am. He's ready to start this work and start going. And he's a musician. He's an organist, a professional organist. He plays beautifully, a professional pianist. He teaches piano and organ lessons and voice. Tremendous man. He teaches elocution and diction. He's just fantastic. And now he's getting started on this. And his wife is a fabulous minister too. When she sings, it sounds like the birds are singing. She's just a pure love. They make a wonderful team. But you see, I got up in front of the group and I said to them, "Martin Luther King stood before you and said, 'One day I have a dream. I have a vision.' Well, Martin Luther King isn't the only one who can have a dream and have a vision. I told them, 'I have a dream and I have a vision for you to see this church, this school, this university, this monastery, whatever you want to call it, put out all the feelers and see which one takes best and go for it. Be better than yourself. Be better than anything that you've ever been. Sure, he's going on 75 years of age, you know. That makes no difference. That makes no difference. He's dynamic. He's powerful. He's filled with imagination. And he also is wise enough to realize he doesn't have to do it all himself. He turns it over to his people and let them dream with him. And he goes door to door and gains parishioners for his church. He says, but he doesn't want to take somebody away from another church. I said, don't worry about it. You can't take somebody away from another church. If they come to you and they hear what they like and they stay, you haven't taken them away from anyone. They have grown into what you have now for them. This is how life is. We don't proselyte people by going to other churches and stealing their people. But we make a presentation of a program so beautiful that people want to come. I said, remember, the Field of Dreams, you build a baseball stadium wherever it is, and the people will come. You have your church now. Make it beautiful, and the people will come. And I talked to them at length in the evening, in the morning, during the day. This was their program. I went there to give a seminar on power. And I gave them more power than they'll ever realize. Not because the power is so great, not because I am so great, but because they are so great. They're going to take this idea that is theirs, that they already have, and they're going to let it develop and let it grow and let it be wonderful. You have a dream within you. Now, what is your dream? Oh, I want to be a monk. I want to be a spiritual master. I want to do this. Well, you will never make it. You will never become a monk or a spiritual master or anything, so long as you want it. When you say, I am it, then you are it. So long as you want something, it's in the to come. And that's not where we're at. We're in the now, present tense, perfect, present tense, first person, present tense, positive. That's where we are. We're in the now. We're not in tomorrow. We're not in another day. We're living examples of what we think and what we believe and what we do. Are you ready to do your church? I said to the audience, I want you to build this church into such a beautiful monument. It's glorious. And then I said to them, okay, now, where is your temple? And all of them pointed to their heart and said, in me. And I said, that's right. Your temple is in you. This is your outer learning edifice, but the temple of the living God is in you. This is where your divinity is. This is where you are. You will hear a lot of these tapes if you wish. I made copies of some of them. But I had a fascinating experience. The battery kept running down on the tape player, which I understood it might do, and I kept plugging in. But many of the plugs in the church didn't work. And I'd plug into a plug that didn't work. And I plugged the minister into a plug that didn't work, and he tried to play his organ. He says, I need to go over that plug or over this plug. And so I tied myself down to the pulpit with the plug behind it, and I was able to record many of the talks that we had. But it's such an exciting thing when you always be better than yourself. You have a vision, an image of who you are. You have a vision or image of who yourself is. Be better than that. Be better than that image. Have imagination that knows no bounds. Don't tell the world what your dream is, because the world will say, huh, you expect to accomplish that? Well, we can look at the Bible as an illustration where Moses, he is raised by the Pharaoh after being shunted out of his home, and he became a very wonderful being. And then Moses knew he was a Jew, he knew he was a Hebrew, and he saw how they were badly treated, and he wanted to keep them from being badly treated. And so he caused himself to be cast out of poverty, of the prosperity, rather, of his community, of being the Pharaoh's son. And so he wandered in the desert, and he found a wife, and he found a family, and he found a home for 20 years. You see, he was 20 years old when he left the Pharaoh's house. And so he went out, and for 20 years, he just cared for the sheep and the flock. What a waste of this magnificent man. And then he was 40, and he got the message to go to Israel, to go to Egypt. And he had to take the Hebrews from Egypt to Israel. He didn't know it was Israel. He didn't know that that's what it was going to be. It was the land of milk and honey. And he took 20 years to take them from Egypt to, so to speak, Palestine, or wherever he took them. 20 years. Now, how long a distance is that? Maybe several hundred miles. But they wandered through the desert and back and forth and hither and yon. The people stayed with him. Why did he do that? Why was he guided to do that? So all of the old ideas would be lost with those who died. So that the generation that lived in limitation, that lived in slavery in Egypt, would no longer remember that. These are all symbolic things. And then he wasn't allowed to go into the Holy Land, the land of milk and honey. That's another story too. The point all here is, we are like Moses, idealistic in our youth, and then we mellow down until we get a calling, until something inside of us says, hey, there's more to life than just herding sheep. There's more to life than just going to a job. There's more to life than going around, going to a theater, going to the bars, going to the ball games, going to climbing mountains, whatever we do. There's more to life than that. Something inside of us says that. And we know that. We feel that. We don't know what it is. And then we begin listening within. And we find within ourselves there's some sort of a mastership inside of us, some sort of ability, a talent, something that causes us to dream deeply, wonderfully, and beautifully. And as we dream deeply, wonderfully, and beautifully, we find that we're drawn to some great, inexorable direction and purpose. And we can't define it. We can't define it. Is it being a master? Is it being God? Is it being anything or nothing? What is this direction and calling we have within us? Some people say to the ministry. Some people say to the dance. Some people say to their art, to their family, to their world. Some people say, look, I'm president of IBM. Aren't I wonderful? Stick in my thumb, pull out a plum. What a good boy am I. But you see, to be the president of IBM, to be the president of any organization, is not in itself satisfying. It's only when you're the president of yourself that you're satisfying. Only when you are the master of your own inner life, your own inner direction, your own inner goal for yourself, then It has meaning. The president of IBM goes home in the evening to his family like anybody else. He has his children fall down, scratch their knee. He has the dentist, the tooth things that make your teeth all straighten out, you know, all the dental work that's done. He has a summer cottage that he goes to for a week. He has cars. He likes one car over another car. He has a garage, and he may like to go out there and tinker. He may like to wear old clothes whenever he can because he has to wear snappy clothes in his work. You see, his work does not satisfy him. You say, well, a workaholic. That's not being satisfied. That means you're just keeping yourself so busy because you don't want anything to remind you that you're not happy. A workaholic is reminded that he has his work to do so he doesn't go home to his family. Because in his family he feels he's let them down. Because in the very crucial years of their growth and development, he's been so busy climbing the ladder, he wasn't there. Now he's climbing the ladder and his sons and daughters are, if there are any, are all grown and going to get married. And his wife left him long before, even though she's still at home. She had to live her own life and do her own thing. You see, the things that he valued, his family, his world, he was doing it for his family, doing it for his family. And yet, none of those things came through. Being so great a man and so honored for his intelligence and so forth was not satisfying to him. It was only when he started to look within, when people would come to him and say, oh, Mr. Wonderful, I'd like to be a success in business. Can you tell me what I might do to be a success? And so then he tells them what they can do to be a success. He says, follow your heart. Do something you like to do. Train yourself to be qualified in whatever you want to do, but be your best. And then he thinks to himself, here I am teaching what I need to learn most myself. Then he tells them, in all you're getting, don't lose sight of what you really value most. Perhaps it's your family. Perhaps it's your church. Perhaps it's your spiritual life. In many of the new age peoples, businesses are giving time to their employees on work time to study yoga, to do meditation, to sit in meditation during their work time. And this seems to be quite popular in many places, but that's just the ones that are getting publicity. Most places don't do that. Because most places don't realize that the temple within is where we really want to go to find out who we are so that we can always be better than ourselves. Have you found that place? Have you looked within yourself for where that place is that you are, where you can be better than yourself? Are you interested in doing it? You know, even though you're here in the monastery, even though you're working in the University of Healing, even though you're doing things quite nicely, you're not satisfied. You're not satisfied because you are not living in a state of bliss. You're living in a state of confusion. You see, Brother Lawrence, who wrote his book, Living in the Presence, you know, he said he's doing it all for Jesus. Now, that's just another word for his divine self, but he lays it to Jesus because that's the teaching he had. Who are you doing your work for? When you cook a meal, are you cooking a meal that makes you happy? Or are you cooking a meal that expresses the divinity within you, that expresses the magnificence within you? Every little chop you do of the lettuce or celery or whatever you do, is it done with love? Is it done as though your God self is receiving this gift? When you drive into town with a car, do you treat the car with love and like a treasure and drive it with great joy, with great harmony? Do you remember to say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasant. Do you remember that? You see, when you live in the awareness, when you live in your temple of the living God, then you do all those things and all your ways are peace. All your paths are pleasantness. No matter what. You're the master. You're the one who's experiencing the greatness of life. Do you want it? It's something to think about. It's something to think about. Because many of you are not getting all that you can from this adventure that you have right here. And the reason you're not getting all that you can is that you're not giving all that you can. I'm not saying you should work harder. I'm not saying you should work longer. I'm not saying you should be a drudge or a slave. But I'm saying every task that you undertake, do it with a loving heart, do it with an open heart, do it with a feeling, wow, I have a great opportunity to do something exciting. You don't have to say, I'm doing it for Jesus. But you can say you're doing it for yourself, for your divine self. Because that is where we're at. Doing everything for our divine self. Always be better than yourself. Always look at everything you do and say to yourself, am I really enjoying what I'm doing? Am I really seeing that I'm serving my divinity by doing what I'm doing? Or am I just being a pushover by the system that requires me to do these unimportant tasks? Every task is important. If you take the printing to the printer and have it done, you should take it with the same dedication as you would if you're running the printing yourself, looking at the computers and watching how they print. The same dedication, the same care. And then I'm going to go a step further. When you create a birthday card or write a birthday card for somebody and you put your loving heart into it, that is the same thing you should do with everything that you do for the university or for the monastery or for yourself. Because when you give with that attitude, you will be so blessed, you'll just be totally unaware that you ever could be so blessed. Because it's exciting. It's exciting and you're exciting. When Fletcher Lynn Seagull avoided one of the baby seagulls flying in his way, and he crashed hard on into the rock granite wall. And Jonathan went to him and said, hey there. And Fletcher says, am I dead? Am I dead? And Jonathan said, no. It's just that you have, we're trying to do something that you're not quite ready yet for. Flying through walls comes a little later in the program. So just take it step by step. And enjoy each little step as you go along. And the flying through walls, that'll come. That's what I say for you now. be better than yourself. But just allow it to happen in its perfect, beautiful way, because you're beautiful. And I love you.